loving Father. This morning, our gospel stories from Luke are three familiar stories that we've just read. We have this parable of a lost sheep, the parable of a lost coin, and the parable of the prodigal son. Three stories that are familiar to some and are new to others. While the story is about a son's rebellion, the greater story here today is about a father's love. Our focus today is on the Father. To those who are listening, Jesus seeks to describe a God whose love is for all people, even those who have sinned and live in brokenness. You see, the key to understanding the power of this story is to get a sense and feel of God's grace. You see, the constant theme that we have today and that we find in Luke's gospel especially is that those who should be dispensers or givers of God's grace are often those who withhold it. We must remember today that Jesus tells this story in response to what the Pharisees and teachers of the law have asked him, and they are complaining that Jesus is spending his time and fellowship with the wrong kind of people. They're upset because Jesus is doing something. He's like hanging around with the wrong people. Have you ever been told that you hung around with the wrong people? You see, Jesus here, this preacher today, you need to be over here with your church people and leave those people alone. How many times have you heard that? I've heard that before. I've heard somebody in this church say to me, "Preacher, you need to be more over here with your own church people and leave those people over there alone. Your business is taking care of us, not them." And I was dumbfounded when I heard it. I couldn't say anything for a moment because I said, "Oh my goodness, how sad, how very sad that is." When I got to where I could say something, I told that person how wrong they were. And I tried not to do it angrily. I tried to do it with compassion because they were so in far and left field. It took them a while to get back. And I pray that they do make it back. You sense the church's same preoccupation with misunderstandings when you hear the three stories in Luke's gospel today in the 15th chapter. They are referred to as the stories about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. From the larger context of this gospel message today, why do we continue to struggle with realizing that we discover the power of these stories of the sheep being found, the coin being found, and guess what? The son being forgiven. The son being forgiven. Jesus tells this story to a group who have evidently missed the point of his coming back. Luke 15 today illustrates the theme of life, a theme which is about finding the lost and loving the unlovable. Finding the lost and loving the unlovable. Those people who some people said, "You know, that's the wrong kind of people for you to be hanging around with. You need to watch it. You need to watch it." This parable must be about the love of a father who will stop at nothing in his love for his son. At the heart of this story today is the grace of a loving father. It is that grace that Buechner talks about and describes in his words that he writes in a book called Wishful Thinking. And he says this grace is something that you can never get, but only be given. There is no way to earn it or deserve it or to bring it about any more than you can deserve the taste of fresh peaches and cream, that you can earn your good looks, or that you can bring about your own birth. The complaining today of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law centered on the judgment that the people just fellowshipped and didn't deserve Jesus' interest or his time. Like the son in the story who squandered the inheritance, the Pharisees need to get what is coming to them. If it was left up to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, the wayward son got what he deserved. That's what people will say. I'm sure you've heard that before. Oh, they got what they deserved. Living with the pigs like a beggar, that's what he deserved. It seems to me that this story was not a popular one with those for whom it was told back in that day. I'm sure it's not a real popular one for a lot of people today. Like the oldest son in the story, the response of the father is inappropriate in relationship to the obvious sin that was committed by the younger son that day. The more pressing the question for such people is, where is the justice in such a response? Where is the justice in all this? You see, this is not a story about justice, my friends. This is a story about God's grace. This is a story about grace in its fullest and in its finest hour. It is always easier to pronounce the judgment in the lives of people in the world that we live in. You know, we have a world that we live in and we hear it all the time. Zero tolerance, assessment test, entrance exams, closed communion. There are many churches that practice closed communion on Communion Sunday. You are not allowed to take part unless you belong there. The Methodists don't believe in that, neither does Kipling. If you're here, you are a part. Communion is for all. All are invited to whose table? God's table. It's not my table, it's not this church's table, it's God's table. So people practice various things. We live in that world where we're told what we can and cannot do. Job interviews, job evaluations, all become ways in which we experience the judgment inherent in so much of what our lives have become. And yet, in the midst of it all, Jesus proclaims through His story, and this story that we read today, the nature of God's love is grace. And during this season of Lent, I hope that I have encouraged you to take an honest look at yourselves, who you are in light of your Christian journey. Luke shares one such journey of a father and a son. However, let us as the church not forget that while repentance is necessary, oh my goodness, yes, it is all the more important to offer that powerful word of grace. That grace that comes from our Lord and Savior, that grace that is freely given. Jesus reminds us that when all is said and done, regardless of how it might look measured against the backdrop of a judgmental culture that we live in, people like this young man, think about it. People like this young man, the son, the daughter, the husband, the wife, the mother, the father, the sister, the brother, the neighbor, the friend, the stranger. We can put anyone in that place. That is how we are to react. They really need that gentle word or gesture of redeeming, loving grace. We need to be there for each other and for those around us. The father knew that this day the son returned. He knew that the day was coming, and he knew that day when his son returned, that grace abounded. You can do it also. We can be a part of that if we only allow God's grace to work in and through our lives and quit putting all the things of society in the way. Because it might not look right, it might not act right, it might feel right. It's like, you know, we have to do this because God calls us. He calls us all out. He says, it's you that I'm looking for. It's you that I want to go and do so and so. It's you that I want to put this upon your heart and soul to pray for this person, to look out for this person, to ask God what it is you would do. Not to say, well, you know, I'm not comfortable with that, or I really don't want to go over there because, you know, I don't really like those people. You know, in the world that we live in, there's a lot of things we don't like, but we have to do them. And every now and then, there's a lot of things that we really aren't real tickled about, but we have to do. But if we do them with the best ability that we can, and we work through things, you know, after a while, some of those things aren't quite as bad. And we also, God gives us something in our life called discernment, that we can figure it out for ourselves. And with His love and with His grace and with His mercy, it works out. We can learn to work through things. We can learn to work through them and move on. We can get upset and walk away. We can leave. We can turn around. We can sit down and stay at home because we might be upset with someone or something. But you know what? Who are we hurting? Ourselves. Thank you, Mama. We're hurting ourselves. We're hurting ourselves. That's all we're hurting. We're not hurting that other person because guess what? That's between them and God. It's between you and God. It's between me and God. So this day, let's have the outlook of that loving Father that welcomes His child back home. That's what our Father does for us. Our Heavenly Father welcomes us home each and every time we screw up. And we do that quite often. So this day, remember that that grace is for you, that grace is for me, and that grace is for that unlovable person down the street, and that one that no one looks at or that no one cares about. Grace is sufficient for all our needs. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word this day. We thank You, Lord, for who You are. We thank You, Lord, for looking out and looking past, looking beyond all of our mistakes and all of our troubles, and looking to our heart and allowing us to be able to come to Your throne of grace and say, I'm sorry. Thank You, Lord, for this day. Thank You for what You have given me. I appreciate it. I thank You for the love of family and friends and community. I thank You for the Father's love that comes by knowing Him. Never can we thank Him enough, and never can we praise Him enough, and never can we give enough. So, Lord, this day remind us of those gifts that come by knowing You. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Our response this morning.